shit. This is Percy Pringle the Third. You're on In Your Head.
This is Gold Rush, and you have been listening to In Your Head Online.
Hey, what's up? This is Amy Dumas. You may know me as Lita. And you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Yes, online.com. That's the important stuff. Now, the most important thing is you listen to Jake the Snake Roberts. Don't you ever forget that.
Hello, everybody. This is Dirty Dust Mantel, and you're listening to In Your Head Radio.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall. In Your Head Online Radio.
This is Mick Foley, the hardcore legend, and this is InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, this is Big Sexy Kevin Nash. You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, the only place to hear people like me tell it like it really is.
Hi, this is Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful to you, InYourHeadOnline.com. That's who I listen to.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. These guys are unbelievable, baby!
Hey, this is Corey Castagnoli. I am very European, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, this is Brett the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
This is Ron Simmons, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Okay, this is John Moxley, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, and it's me, it's that Dizzy to the Jizzy, the D-O-double Jizzy, B.G. James. Listen, get it, got it, good.
This is Shawn Michaels, former WWE superstar, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
All right, and welcome to In Your Head Wrestling Radio, WrestleMania 30 post-show. I am internet icon, handsome Jackie Jones, and I am joined by my right-hand man.
1-inch biceps, the power goat. Oh, yeah.
That's my boy. Now, people are trying to call in already, but just wait for us. We're going to recap WrestleMania 30, and then we will take your call and find out what you thought of it. But right off the bat, Inch Man, did you watch all the countdowns? It was like 5 hours of countdowns.
No, I tuned in like maybe around 6 o'clock. So I got to see like the pre-show match, and
yes,
that's, I picked it up at.
Yeah, I would say I really liked the set for WrestleMania. Thought it looked very clean. It was cool. Had the WrestleMania feel. But they didn't have all that crazy, like, palm trees and columns like they've had the last few years.
Yeah. It was pretty basic this year.
Which I think is better, because it's really open, and so if you were there, you could see. You didn't have to have a big column in your way. And I like that, too. Then you can really see the crowd. You can take in how massive. There's this big-ass crowd at the, quote-unquote, Silver Dome. Which we'll talk about
briefly. The good old Silver Dome.
So there was a pre-show match, and really should have been on the pay-per-view, I think. The Fatal 4-Way for the tag titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good bout. I think WrestleMania could have used a bout like that, honestly, because it had a lot of good stuff in this match.
Yeah, you had the Real Americans, Ryback, Los Matadores, and the Usos. And, yeah, I just thought this was a big, exciting match, which I think would have been a great fit for WrestleMania. Plus, you had the tag belts in there.
If you exclude this match, you really didn't have, like, one of those crazy, I guess people like to call them spot monkey matches. But
right.
Yeah, I really have a WrestleMania with one of those this year.
No, but yeah.
If you didn't include, well, and this match wasn't really like a spot match, but it had some great moments.
Yeah. It was given time, too, for a pre-match show. They didn't just, sometimes a pre-match show, they'll give no time to. It'll just be kind of. And they'll even show, like, ads during, it'll be, like, 5 minutes. But this was a long match, and had a lot of cool spots, high-flying stuff. And I actually like, even though Ryback's, I mean, it's Ryback and Axel, I actually like all four teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody was good in it. I enjoyed the Los Manadores. They're pretty good, their participation in it. You knew that they were going to get eliminated because they were working all their stuff in before they got out of there.
Yeah, they were eliminated first by the Real Americans, tapped out of the Patriot Lock. There was a heavy "We the People" chants. The fans really are behind the real Americans. The all Americans.
Oh yeah. So if the fans are really behind them, it's time to break them up.
Yeah. Well, I actually think that was smart because I think they're really behind one guy of the team. I don't think they're necessarily behind the team.
And it's not Jack Swagger.
No. Which I was very surprised at because Jack Swagger was not the guy who took the fall in the final. It was Cesaro who got pinned, and I was like, man, it's totally the wrong guy that got pinned here.
Yeah. Like, Vince Cesaro could be pissed and keep him strong, you know, going in when they're broken up. But,
it did lead into a really big moment later on, we'll talk about. So then Mania itself opened, and I just thought this was like a really magic moment. It was, he had Hulk Hogan out there, and then Steve Austin came out, and The Rock came out. And even Hogan flubbed the line calling it Silverdome. But I thought it was a good save. I thought it was funny, and he had fun with it, and the other two had fun with it. And it was just fun seeing these three guys just goofing off and the crowd going crazy. Well, there's so much charisma in the ring.
What was funny about it was even Michael Cole said right before Hulk Hogan, because he messed up on WWE, he was like WWF. And then Michael Cole was like, he thinks he's back at WrestleMania 3. and then Hulk Hogan just goes, here at the Silverdome. Everybody started booing him.
The big nasty
chant. I'm sorry, brother.
But they forgave him. It was a good crowd. And I really thought Austin was going to stun him, but he didn't. But I think it was for the best. Just the three biggest stars of my time anyway. I mean, you could put Bruno and guys, but I never saw those. But definitely the three biggest stars of WrestleMania.
Yeah, just the three guys in the ring. It was really magical, and I thought, man, are they going to book to a match here? Because I know we've heard rumors about Austin possibly coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, but still good stuff.
Yeah.
Good promo.
And
that was just like one of those times you're watching television, like wrestling, and you're just like, I cannot turn away from this. Nothing is going to prevent me from watching this.
Yeah, it was great. And it was, I really was like, oh my God. The match of falls is going to be doomed, but I was wrong because they followed it with I think the match of the night.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to start the show off with Triple H taking on Daniel Bryan.
No, it was.
Yeah,
that,
were you surprised when?
Yeah,
that
I was
that
very
happened?
Surprised when that happened. I knew that match was going to be long because you know. They probably wanted to have a long match, and then the winner, which I assume would be Daniel Bryan, would then have you know a little bit of a rest before the main event time.
Mm-hmm.
But and I really like Triple H's over the top crazy entrance with like the being the king, and because it fit the character and it really played into the idea that Daniel Bryan had to overcome this legend, and he's just like they're just so over the top, like how big he is and how grand he is. And I've never been a Stephanie fan, but I got to say, she is really coming to her own as a heel.
Yeah.
She's so very hateable.
She was screaming at Daniel Bryan when he was wrestling. She was like, you can't beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good stuff.
He had to get a big bruise on his inner thigh early in the match, Triple H. I don't know what it was from, but it didn't look good. I was not a fan of Daniel Bryan's boots.
Yeah, he has kind of like a, I don't know, it's kind of like going berserker on us or something. I mean, they're not real furry like that, but they've got like a fur to them now.
Yeah, I did not dig those. They're very homosexual-like.
I kind of just wish they'd kind of get away from the whole goat thing with the beard and the hair and all that.
Yeah,
but,
I'm not a fan.
And I think this is only contributing to that, honestly, with the fur on his boots.
During the pre-show one time, they showed him when he had the short hair and he was clean-shaven. I think he just looks worlds better.
Yeah, and he's the champion now.
I mean, he doesn't look like a goofball.
Yeah,
really, that's the only thing I don't like about him is the greasy hair and the the beard is very terrible because it's not a full beard. It's all scraggly and just looks like shit.
Very Captain Caveman-esque.
Yeah, it's very homeless-esque to me. It's like some homeless man.
Yeah,
just saw a lot of last
wrestling
night.
In the ring. Just got off the box cart and he's coming down to wrestle at WrestleMania.
And so, just a really physical match. Mm-hmm. All the moves were like, you know, they were hitting hard, and all the suplexes were stiff. It was a match I like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Great clothesline.
I think if I had to pick a match of the night, it probably would be this one. But I wasn't necessarily crazy about all the matches on this WrestleMania, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, the chat room here, they're actually saying they're picking as one of the best WrestleManias of all time, which I'm actually very surprised about. But Triple H, Triple H used a crossface chicken wing. I dug that. I've always been a big fan of that move, and
And it made sense to bring it out in this match too.
Yeah, it was a smart match. He really worked the arm. We're not going to talk about it yet, but I do. To me, it was a difference. There was a big difference between this match and the Undertaker match, where both matches were heavily relied on submission moves. But in this match, I thought they really worked well, and not so much in the later match, in my opinion. But yeah, it was just a big win, and the crowd went crazy. And Cole really sold this as like this big upset, and it came off like a big deal. And that was what a way to start the show, that the promo, and then this match. Then we went to the Shield match, Shield versus New Age Outlaws and Kane. And I was looking forward to this one, and I know there's a lot of people in our chat room who don't like the New Age Outlaws. I actually enjoy them. I kind of like them better now than I did back in the day. I think like they work smart, and I think they're good for some of the young guys to work with. I think they can learn a lot from these guys, how to have like a match where you don't necessarily have to do a million spots. But that being said, this was not a match that lived up to the Shield's matches.
Yeah, it's not like it was bad for what they did, but it just wasn't very long. I mean, it was a short match. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the deal was, why they shortened it so much.
Yeah, they just blew through spots. It seemed very rushed, or just spot after spot. It was almost like a squash match. Just the Shield ran in and killed them, and it was too fast. It was just like bam, 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 doing all these spots, and then the finish. The triple powerbomb spot was pretty cool. I will give that credit. I've seen that before, but it was just too short to be like a memorable match. And the Shield is really known for just having fantastic
matches. It's not what you're expecting from a Shield match either. You expect a long, you know, kind of crazy match, and we didn't really get that with this match.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the Shield over the last like probably 2 years have had some of the best matches, you know, in the company. On pay-per-view and Raw. So this first Shield match, this was a big letdown, which is too bad for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bring this up. I've seen a lot of people mention this in the chat room tonight, and they talk about, they got paid. The Shield, Hoosier Highway just said Shield got paid. I saw people during like other things I didn't think were particularly great, and they're like, well, they're getting a payoff. I don't watch wrestling to mark out for how much people are getting paid. I watch it to be entertained. What they make makes no difference to me whatsoever as a fan. I couldn't really, good for them, but as a fan, that makes no difference to me whatsoever. Could not give a shit.
I like all the guys in the Field, so I guess I'm glad they got a good payoff, but it didn't really satisfy me, you know.
Yeah, I don't watch it. Well, all right. I'm glad they got a reasonable payoff for this match.
It's like you gave a hooker her money and she ran away.
And they had a really bizarre backstage segment. It was Dangerous Danny Davis, which was cool. I haven't seen. That was, you always see Sarge and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Steamboat and DBI. You see those guys all the time. And of course, the Manassas Dam. But Dangerous Danny Davis is a legend that that you do not see very much, so that was cool. But it was very bizarre. It's just like these old men just backstage playing with toys.
I don't know why they need these segments all the time. They're not particularly good. It's like, why can't you just let the Shield match go and cut this segment out? I mean, it does no good for anybody.
No, it's like, all right, these old men playing games.
Yeah, and it's like, I know, I guess it advertises the toy a little bit, but come on, can you find, like, some better ways to advertise your toy? I mean, make a commercial or something.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they're for children.
Yeah,
not for,
I mean,
like, a six-year-old man to play with.
Yeah, see Sergeant Slaughter playing with it. It's like, my God.
And then Ted DiBiase just came in and bought the ring, and I wonder
how much that's getting back.
Big buck. So then we got the old damn, which I guess people still get a kick out of it. I don't know. It's kinda
Jack, no one gets a kick out of it.
I don't know. I guess someone does. Then we had the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and I'd say about the first 75% of this, I was just like pretty much like, eh, you know, this is happening, but it's like, and then it really, because they got 30 guys in there instead of like a 20-man battle royal, so it's too many guys to really do anything, they're just kind of in the ring, and then to top that all off, you're looking at it, and it's like, you don't give a shit about like 90% of the people in the ring, like not even like at all. I mean, it's not even like when Coco Beware would come out, and you'd be like, yeah, it's Coco Beware. I don't know. These guys are just, like, friggin' jobbers. Like, Zack Ryder, and it's like, who cares? It was funny, because there was one point, they threw someone out. It was actually Darren Young, and the King's like, not him. And I just don't think he even knew who he was.
King just totally forgot his name. That's bad.
Poor Jap Bill. Jap Bill was the first guy out.
No, man. I'm surprised Yoshi Tatsu's even, still around. I think he's been just trolling away at NXT.
Has he ever had any shot, like any chance? I've barely ever seen him. This seems his job guy. I just don't understand why you sign someone and at least don't, like, give him a fair shot. Like, I don't know if this guy would be anything. I don't really know, but why don't you at least try? Have him on TV a little bit.
Has WWE ever, like, tried with any real Japanese guy?
No.
I don't think they have. They're like, the Japanese people they use, like,
they always end up just like a retarded child. That is their gimmick, is that they speak poor English, and they're like, half retarded. The same. That's what it always comes down to. And they've had some really talented guys. They had Hakushi, who was awesome. They did try with him for a little bit, and Tajiri was really over. That guy had like an intangible charisma about him, and he was small, but he was believable. Like when he would work with bigger guys, you believe that he could, you know, he'd be kicking their ass. But then they eventually just had him like the dummy. You couldn't speak proper English.
Didn't they turn him into like a reporter or something? I think he did.
I think that was Kai and Tai.
Might have been. All right.
But once this got down to about 9 people, then I thought it really started to pick up.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, because the guys have room to work, and that, it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and you're like, this is picking up, and that spot at the end, though, where freaking Cesaro, he just slammed Big Show out of the ring.
Fantastic.
And that was impressive, man.
That really, Cesaro's the guy the fans have really been wanting to get over, get behind, and they really gave him a big moment to shine. That was awesome. That's one I think they can show over and over and over.
And it's not like he just quickly slammed him out of the ring. It was like he stood there for a little bit, holding the dude. And I was like, that could not be easy. That
no.
Was
That is a feat of strength right there.
He's got to be this. I really think he's the strongest guy in the company. Because he does moves on guys with, like, little help, like, just out of just sheer strength.
Mm-hmm. Definitely got to put over Kofi Kingston's spot where he just got thrown out of the ring. And, like, he made his feet kind of, like, it was like he got thrown out at a corner, and he made his feet, like, land onto the steps.
Uh-huh.
Like, and he, his total body fell outside, but his feet did not touch the floor.
Yeah, I really think they have to have him win a Battle Royal once. Like, even if it's just on Raw. Or even a couple of them. I think you can't do like a million Battle Royals, but if you did one on Raw every once in a while and you gave him a couple wins, I think it would make a bigger deal than come, you know, Royal Rumble or a pay-per-view like this one they have on WrestleMania. When he does something like that, you're like, oh, if you remember, you know, he won, you know, this match, Battle Royal on Raw, you know, a few months ago when they threw him out, but he's got back in and won it. It's cool he does this, but I think he needs a win.
Yeah, he's just kind of becoming this guy. He just always does this cool spot, and then he's eliminated.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really a big Alberto Del Rio fan, but he really, I thought he really shined here.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty big on Alberto Del Rio, but what spots were you talking about?
I just thought he really showed some character, some charisma here, and he was... normally he just bores the hell out of me, but I thought he did very well in the Battle Royal.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're starting to see something in Albert.
It's probably just this one match. I like the Big Show had the one strap like Andre.
No, I didn't even notice that he did.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. What was weird I really noticed about the Andre the Giant statue, because it kept showing like this behind shot of it, like whoever made it, really took time to put like a really defined ass crack in that Andre the Giant statue. It's like a really deep like ass. And I just think that's very weird. I don't know why like they did that. It's not like it's like a diva.
Maybe like a hair fell on it while he was sculpting it, and he just kept trying to scoop that hair out.
Mm-hmm.
It just kept carving away at his ass crack. It's like, man.
JTG, someone mentioned in the chat room. Yeah, I was wondering, I was hoping JTG wasn't hiding in one of those coffins when they burn him up.
Like, I gotta get in to keep my job.
Then we had like a voodoo entrance. There's like some voodoo woman going on.
I might have missed this because I went upstairs to get some food.
Yeah, it was a voodoo woman. And then they did the live entrance for Bray Wyatt.
I missed her then because I saw the Wyatt come out with the band, but I did not see the voodoo.
No, it opened up with it was kind of neat. It was like this voodoo woman dancing around. So that was a cool entrance. And so Bray had a new fedora on, I noticed. And Bray's actually a guy that's really been growing on me lately. I wasn't big on him when he first came in.
Yeah.
But I love the vignettes. But I think he's really really improving in the ring. And I think his promos are cool. They're weird, and I dig it. And so he's wrestling Cena, and basically he's just like killing Cena for like a long time.
Yeah, I did like at the end of the match where he gave him the chair and he was telling Cena to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of holding out his arms, kind of sacrificing himself. And then the crowd kind of adds to that when they start seeing, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yeah, Bray has great eyes. It's very embarrassing that, like, I guess he's not the main... He's still the main baby face. And he just comes out and just gets booed. Like, not once in a while. Every show. Just boo, boo, boo. I don't know. Can't you just turn him heel or something? Or do something with him? It's embarrassing.
Yeah. You can't keep him the same.
I didn't have no problem with this match. I didn't think so. I think Cena looked pretty poor in it, actually. But I didn't think too much of it at the time when Cena won, but afterwards, I really thought about it. I was like, this really was, Cena doesn't need to win to beat anybody at this point in time. And Bray's a guy that really, you know, building up for the future. I think it's just time to have a big win on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I guess I understand your point. Cena doesn't really need it, so why not just give it to Bray Wyatt?
But I still think
probably want to go on a little bit. But.
Yeah, I agree. I think going toe-to-toe with Cena, whereas it wasn't Cena just beat him, you know, it was a long competitive match, does help him as well.
Hmm.
If he would have just beat his ass and pinned him, that would have been bad. Hall of Fame recap, it's always fun to watch. I did not get to see the Hall of Fame yet.
I'll watch the Hall of Fame. I'm a bit disappointed with the Hall of Fame. I won't get into it tonight. But I've got a rant on that one.
Yeah, I saw a lot of things.
Mr. T, basically.
I saw a lot of things written about it on Facebook when I was... Then we had Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, and Undertaker right away just looked very bad, looked very old. He's kind of thin, but kind of just not look good. You can even see like his ribs, like his chest, and just he looked very painful taking moves.
I like the vignette that they had for the Undertaker showing like all of his past injuries and everything. So my stream was kind of messing up a little bit, so it totally just boggled my mind what was going on for a minute. But every time they passed a coffin, it had a name written on it, and they would show a little clip from that match. I thought that was pretty well done. You know, going into this match, I just knew with my heart that I was about to see something great. And I want everybody to just sit there in complete silence while you listen to this right now. I told you, dummies. I told each and every one of you that Brock Lesnar was going to finish the streak, and it happened tonight. This stupid streak is over. Undertaker can get his old cripple ass out of the ring and just never come back to WrestleMania again.
This was
yes, sir.
This
Brock Lesnar, say it, Jack, Conqueror, Brock Lesnar.
Well, I will say, even before the finish of this match, Lesnar did succeed in ending Undertaker's streak of having great matches at WrestleMania, because this was Undertaker's worst match at WrestleMania.
Well, that streak wasn't as long as the other streak.
This was not a good match.
No, this one wasn't the best match.
No, it was bad.
It was kind of just there. I liked the spot where he was going for old school and kind of brought just pulled him in his back and then, you know, did the F5. I liked that, but yeah, this match didn't have a whole lot of...
Really? Probably the worst last ride I've ever seen. The tombstone was pitiful. He missed, his head was way up like in his balls. And so, he missed by a good foot. I think it's hard doing that move on someone who doesn't have hair, so they don't have hair to cover up when they don't hit the mat. And this was just a mind-bogglingly bad finish. I don't get it. I'm a person who don't think you should ever end the streak, and if you are going to end the streak, I don't know why you would end it to someone who's not even a full-time, employee.
Well, I mean, it's just because Brock is the least incarnate, Jack. Did you not enjoy that vignette with Paul Heyman at the beginning?
Yeah, the vignette was fine, but once the match started, I didn't really enjoy any of it.
Well, I didn't enjoy much of it until the end. Oh, my gosh. It was just a thing of beauty.
I hated it.
Seeing Brock Lesnar in that stupid streak.
I think it's just it's ignorant. I mean, you've got something that's very over that people genuinely love. So why would you want to end that? You just want to make your own people, your own fans mad. And now what do you have? You got an old man Undertaker. I guess he's retired.
Well, now you got nothing. He is old now. I mean, we're coming to the end of his career. A lot of people are speculating in the chat room. Maybe it'll be Taker versus Sting for his last match next year. So, who knows? I mean, I just loved it. I loved how all the fans were just shocked. Some of those reactions, when they panned to the crowd, and they had this, like, surprised look on their face. I was like, yes. And it legitimately surprised me as well, even though
I thought it surprised me, but not in a good way. I actually thought up until... at this point in time, I was like, man, this kind of sucked the life out of this crowd, and this still kind of blows. It was in a poor match for Undertaker's last match. I was like, that sucks. I think it's just bad. And, you know, all this booking of Undertaker, I mean, of Brock Lesnar up to this, it's like, if this would have been so much bigger if he hadn't just lost to Triple H last year. And lost to Cena's first match. This is in my opinion, I don't see one positive aspect of this.
I'm probably wrong on this, but maybe he's made a bigger commitment to WWE, and maybe he's going to be around a lot more. But
I doubt
it. Who knows? Doubt it.
Now you've got no streak. You got no streak next year. That's one match you can always guarantee on being something people look forward to. They ain't got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy's getting old.
I had no problem with him. That was actually the best part, was just after the fans saying, you know, thank you, thank you, Taker. That was cool. But the rest of it, I thought was poor. But it was very slow and plodding and just not good. And then the ending, I just thought was the shits.
Well, I'm sure everybody's going to hate the ending because not a whole lot of people want to see a streak in.
You and Toast loved it.
Guilty as charged. I loved it. I was smiling. I was giggling like a schoolgirl watching Total Divas. I loved it.
Stupid
streak
the song,
is over.
I mean, it's probably the most over. It's more over than the belts. I don't know why it's stupid. I don't know why something that fans like is considered stupid.
I think it's just so silly that a guy has it where.
Well, you were genuinely shocked. People in the audience were genuinely shocked. Doesn't that prove that it's not silly? If you thought it was so silly and you didn't care about it, you wouldn't have been shocked that he lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just know that Undertaker always has to win in every WrestleMania up until now.
It's a 21-year gimmick, 21-year storyline. Now you've got nothing. Now it's 21. No, that's ain't nothing to brag about. Now you can't do it. You can't. That's like when the Patriots went undefeated. They lost the Super Bowl. No one remembers that season because they didn't win the big one. So you have a guy, and now he's got one loss at WrestleMania.
He goes out on his back.
You don't remember it.
The streak has ended.
I'm not sure
if Brock Lesnar would be the right guy to do it if he's not going to be a full time employee, like you said.
I disagree.
I don't know who they should have had actually beat the streak.
I don't think anyone should have beat it. If you have that, then you have this streak that you can talk about forever. You got people try to, you know, win some in a year, but now you've got nothing. There is no streak. So you've lost that. He lost last year at WrestleMania. He has no streak. He can do no streak.
He can start it from now.
You don't have an undefeated streak if you've already lost.
If they built it for years and years and years.
Nope,
I mean,
he lost. You can't say he's whatever and oh because he's not, because he lost at WrestleMania. So you can't do it.
Thing where it's like I beat the man who was undefeated at WrestleMania, now I'm gonna remain undefeated.
But he's already lost. He's not undefeated.
Well, from that point on. I mean,
that's not the same. You couldn't have like Goldberg, just like he came out and lost, and then all of a sudden, well, I'm now 20-0 since I already lost. It doesn't work.
Hmm.
You lost the streak, and you gained nothing, in my opinion.
No, you just got your panties in a bunch about
what
Undertaker.
What did you gain out of it? Brock, he wrestles like 3 times a year. He's already lost to half the people in the company.
Oh, I don't know. I can't help but to enjoy it. I'm sorry. I know everybody hates it, though.
The Divas match, this was I went and made something.
Okay. The highlight of this match was the one girl's top kind of came unstrapped, and the low point was you didn't actually get to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I think King did, because he was marking out like a just an idiot. He was like, oh, I'm just hearing some good stuff for her. So, yeah, that was the Divas' big battle royal thingamajig. AJ kept her belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was. I really just don't even care about this match.
Yeah, that's why I'm quickly just passing that one up.
It was good to see Orndorff. He has like a big mustache now. He looks like he's like Wyatt Earp or something.
I think he wants to team up with Zeb Galter or something.
He's like Buffalo Bill.
Zeb Galter and Buffalo Bill Orndorff.
Yeah, this was gay. This is gay. I don't want to see people hugging it out. I want to see people beat the shit out of each other. I don't want to see 30 years after the first WrestleMania now Piper's hugging Hogan and hugging Mr. T and what gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't think they need it. This is like the one where Sergeant Slaughter was playing with the toys. They didn't really need it.
Yeah, why couldn't they just have, still been pissed at each other?
Yeah, really. I mean, just let them go to their graves angry at one another.
Yeah.
Don't make Piper shake Mr. T's hand.
And then the Orndorff,
even at the Hall of Fame, he was like, I'm looking forward to seeing what Mr. T had to say. And he found out what Mr. T had to say. He loves his mama.
And then it was weird because Piper just grabbed Orndorff's hand and stuck it in Hogan's. It was kind of sad. I was like, well, can he not get his hand up there or what?
No, I think he was like saying, kind of passing it up, trying to get out of it. Making Orndorff shake instead of him. That's the way I took that. But, I know he has the problem with his arm. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah. So
that's messed up, but that's what Piper was doing. He's like, I know he can't use his arm, so I'm just going to make him shake Hogan with this one. That's kind of screwed up.
So if you guys want to call in now, it's 508-644-8503 or Skype in Jackinoff, because we're going to have the last match, and then we'll take your call. So just call in and stand hold, and we'll talk to you. But
I got to head to work, too, here in a bit. So
it's main event time, Randy Orton versus Batista versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah, big main event. This match... I had a few nice little moments. I definitely loved the spot where they took Daniel Bryan over to the announcing table, and Batista did the Batista bomb, and Randy Orton did an RKO while he was in midair. That was pretty awesome.
That was the best part of the match, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot from this match. I kind of would have liked to see Daniel Bryan go out there and really deliver.
I thought the match was fine. I just think they had too much. I think the shenanigans stuff actually took away from the match. Him going out.
Triple H ran out.
Him running in, Stephanie coming in, going out in the stretcher. I really think if he just would have won, I know he still won. He overcame everything. But if you just would have had him beat these two guys in just a match without all this other stuff, because he's not a guy who needs all that. I really think they could have used that in the Undertaker-Lesnar match of some shenanigans stuff, because that was just not very good. But this match didn't need that, especially with Daniel Bryan in there. People just wanted to see Daniel Bryan win. I did like a spot, too. Was Batista went to spear Orton. Orton leapfrogged it, and then he hit Daniel Bryan. Then he turned around in the RKO. I thought that was very cool. But Daniel Bryan at the end making Batista tap, that was great. And then... I really thought it was a great way to end WrestleMania with everyone chanting yes. And Daniel Bryan finally, after these nine months of being held down and being killed and stuff, that he finally got the title and was seen as the guy. I thought that was a great moment.
Were,
worries me a little bit that Randy Orton wasn't the one that got pinned, because now they're probably going to do a thing where, you know, Daniel Bryan's going to have to face Randy Orton.
Yeah, and we've seen those guys wrestle each other like 50 times in the last year.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't been too great. So.
No, they had like a really good match, I remember, on like Raw, I think. And then after that, is you see us out so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you really should. It really should go. Maybe not right away, but maybe at SummerSlam it should be Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker into the streak. So I think you could do that as a big title match. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. I thought that would be a good feud. So I'd like to see it.
Yeah, that's a guy, Brock Lesnar could just destroy, and then, you know, he has, like, the hope spots, and I think you could really have something good there. Plus, yeah, you have Paul Heyman, who's the man. You know, they kept putting over that Paul Heyman's, you know, arguably the best manager of all time, and I know that's for the storyline stuff, but I really think that's a good call. I wouldn't put him above Heenan. But I think you can make the argument that he's one of the best managers of all time.
Yeah,
he's had some different runs.
That vignette before the Taker and Lesnar match really proved that. He really showed a lot of charisma in that promo.
Mm-hmm. And he's had many runs. He had to run as Paulie Dangerously and in the NWA, WCW, then he has run, you know, not necessarily as a manager, but in ECW, and then he's just been a great old-school heel manager since his comeback to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. People here in the chat room
right.
have ranging from Matt, they think the paper is not good, to one of the best of all time. I definitely think it was thumbs up, because I thought it was a great ending to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the beginning match was great. I loved seeing Hogan and Austin and The Rock in the ring together. I loved the end of the Battle Royal. And I really didn't like the Undertaker match or the ending of that. But overall, I would say, especially because of the end, it ends with the big moment. Definitely thumbs up. I don't think it's the best Mania of all time, but it's overall, it's probably better than the last few. So I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I can't say I was cracked up about a lot of the matches on the show. Just didn't feel like WrestleMania-worthy type of matches. But it was an all right show. Definitely, I want to say it was the best Mania. There were some good moments, a lot of good moments, but overall it wasn't like very solid, in my opinion. Okie dokie. Is there anybody on the line?
No, they were calling in, but they're not on the line now. So if you guys want to call in, 508-644-8503, Skype and Jack on the 4, you can just wait till this Wednesday, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, when we do the live In Your Head, and you can call in then and talk about the show. Because this was a last-minute deal.
Yeah, you text me while I was watching the show, and we decided on doing it, but you know, everybody wants to talk WrestleMania on WrestleMania night, especially me.
So yeah, I'm gonna watch the Hall of Fame tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Or tomorrow. I'll watch it before the show anyway. I am looking forward to it. I might fast forward through some of it, I don't know.
The Hall of Fame was all right, but I just really wish Mr. T wouldn't have went so damn long with his promo, and then they just cut him off. And it was like he went so long that they had to shorten up people who you really wanted to see later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I went away from this show just hating Mr. T.
Poor Mr. T.
I don't want to hate Mr. T, but I think I hate Mr. T because he had such a damn long promo that did nothing to, didn't even talk about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Mr. T. He just came out and he stated that he loved his mama.
I pity the
why
fool.
He loved his mama. It was almost like an Andy Kaufman segment or something.
My mom said
he just
that.
So long talking about his mom.
And I guess a lot about God.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but more so his mother.
What the hell's that? All right, well, I'm going to wrap this up, and you guys will call in on Wednesday, and we can talk to us about WrestleMania then. All right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it was fun doing the show. Mm-hmm. I wish the callers hadn't screwed up, but what can you expect from this podcast, Mark?
Yeah. Well, they could call on Wednesday.
Too busy. Do what?
They could call on Wednesday and talk to us about WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. They're probably too busy crying about The Undertaker losing the streak. That stupid streak.
That's
I'm
the best
so
thing
glad
going.
Brock Lesnar ended it.
Best thing going, now they got nothing. For no reason. Terrible.
It's like that scene from Fight Club. I just want to see something beautiful.
Yeah, you get off on people, you know, not enjoying themselves.
And how?
It wasn't even a good match.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Just like, I know, did mention this on the,
when,
I
like,
did mention this on the show Wednesday that you
Jimmy
just
Jan
really
and Miss D
yeah,
call in all at
I will,
once.
I would like
and
you
then
to
I
know.
Just start laughing.
Mm-hmm. I would like
yeah,
you to know
probably,
that you're on the same opinion now of Swax.
He's a bright man.
Mm-hmm. Swax and
God bless
him.
Swax and who?
Swax and Inchman.
There we go. There's others out there. They'll come out of the woodwork now that they know they control people with their opinions.
You and Toast and Swax. That's the group.
Hey, but I've been saying it for years that I've wanted this thing to end. Haven't I?
Yeah, I mean, but you've been wanting, like, the best thing of WrestleMania to end. It's very mind-boggling.
I don't know if I'd look at it as the best thing. I think the main
What was better than Undertaker, Shawn Michaels matches?
That was actually voted.
That was voted by the fans. The match, the best match of all time on WrestleMania.
I look at it like this: would you prefer the streak being the big thing on the show, or like the title?
It doesn't matter. If something's over, it's over. That's all that matters to me.
But I mean, think
if a guy's over,
like,
he's over.
Think
if
you had
Daniel
Shawn
Bryan
Michaels
over,
and Stone Cold on top, would you still be talking about the streak?
Probably. I mean, they had big guys over when he was still in the streak. If it's over,
yeah,
it's over.
That would
be
the standout of the show.
One of the, he was the guy. He was the guy from that last era. That just he mm-hmm. had these amazing matches at WrestleMania. I mean, he had some, you know, like Elegante and stuff. But and later in his career, he had these, you know, great matches. They're very memorable and never lost. And it's something that the fans were emotionally invested in. So to me, that is a success. That is what you want. You want fans to be into your show, not just be like, eh, who cares.
Well, I see
into.
Your point, but all good things must come to an end.
No, he should. I don't agree. Should have just.
I mean, everything comes to an end.
Your life comes to an end. That's the beauty of wrestling. It's not real, so it didn't have to end.
And I respect that the guy didn't just go on and like say like, well, nobody's ever going to beat this. It's the greatest thing ever. I'm glad that he did let somebody beat it.
I'm not. I don't think it's smart. I don't see. I think you got. There was no benefit from it, and you just lost something. You don't have. That is now gone. There is no streak.
Well, you said it yourself. You said he would kind of crippled down. I mean,
no.
Maybe the benefit is he doesn't have to destroy himself.
No. Well, no, because that is irrelevant. He could retire. He could retire at any time. That doesn't mean he has to go out there and wrestle for 100 years till the day he dies and keep doing the streak. But if he would have won this match and then retired, you have got the same reaction from the crowd, their emotional reaction when they were thanking him. Plus, they would have been happy at the same time. It would have been bittersweet. And then you'd also have the streak that you could talk about forever. You could make DVDs of. You can ask people about it. Now it's over, and that'll be it.
Yeah, but I think it was the right thing to do.
I really disagree, especially the guy they picked. That is terrible.
Well,
I like
Brock, and I can
Brock's
see your point about him not always
Brock.
Being around. You know, he's not a full-time employee, so But who would they put it on, you know? I mean, who would beat The Undertaker? I mean, there's not too many guys
Daniel
you can
Bryan.
Think of that really deserve it.
Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt
yeah.
would have been a fitting guy.
Yeah. Okay, well, that might be some candidates, but they didn't go that route. Maybe The Undertaker didn't feel like they were worthy. I don't know.
Well, he actually wanted to fight Daniel Bryan this year. He wanted to wrestle Daniel Bryan, not Brock.
Well.
All right. We will continue this
know.
On Wednesday. We're going to wrap this up.
All right. I enjoyed it, though. Thank you for doing the after show, Jack. I had a good time. I always love talking WrestleMania after it happens. Everybody wants to talk wrestling after WrestleMania.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we actually have a Sandman here on the line. Swinging the Singapore cane, I believe. Sandman! Hey! What's up? Are you there?
Are you going to let me go with my rant about the stupid collar? Now that they've flubbed
up. That's a good man. This is a man who does a recap, but I think he's having some phone issues.
He's just having some technical difficulties.
I believe so. Anyway, we got to go. We will talk to you guys soon. We'll talk to you this Wednesday, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, IYHWrestling.com.
Be there. All right. See you guys.
You remember him, Donald. This is Percy Pringle III. You're on In Your Head.
This is Gold Dust, and you have been listening to In Your Head Online.
Hey, what's up? This is Amy Dumas. You may know me as Lita. And you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
InYourHeadOnline.com. That's the important stuff. Now, the most important thing is you listen to Jake the Snake Roberts. Let you ever forget that.
Hello, everybody. This is Dirty Dust Mantel, and you listen to In Your Head Radio.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall. In Your Head Online Radio.
This is Mick Foley, the hardcore legend, and this is InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, this is Big Sexy Kevin Nash. You listen to InYourHeadOnline.com, the only place hear people like me tell it like it really is.
Hi, this is Paul Forndorf, Mr. Wonderful to you. In Your Head, online.com. That's who I listen to.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And you're listening to In Your Head, online.com. These guys are unbelievable, baby.
Hey, this is Claudio Castagnoli. I am very European, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
This is Ron Simmons, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Damn! Okay, this is John Moxley, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com, and it's me, it's that busy to the jizzy, the D-O-double jizzy, B.G. James. Listen, get it, got it, good.
This is Shawn Michaels, former WWE superstar, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.